crazy person.
Yeah.
Sorry.
All right, Gary, let's get started. I'd like to call the meeting to order, please. And if we'd all stand and do the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And if you'll please remain standing for one moment, and we have a moment of silence, and we lost some relatives of members of our community, Brooks Brown on Dickinson Avenue. His sister died at a young age, and Peggy Colleen, her mother died. So please think of them for a moment. Thank you. For the roll call, we have four commissioners present. Anna, I assume, is coming, but is running late. And our attorney, Fred Townsend, is here, and our town manager, Mark Applebaum, for the record. And may I have a motion to adopt the agenda?
So moved.
Okay, second?
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. And the very first item on the agenda is a presentation of the audit report for the year ending March 31st, 2014. And we have a member of that committee, Dale Cook, who's going to present it. Larry Silver, who's the chair of that committee, is not able to attend. So Dale's stepping in his stead. Thank you, Dale.
And I cannot go with you because the CPA is one law firm for many, many, many years. And I haven't, and I'm not. So, first of all, the basic statement is I'm Dale Cook. I'm a member of the audit committee. I've only been a member for two meetings, so unfortunately, I'm not as adept as everybody else at this, and I will try to get you through fairly quickly. We are here to present the audit report to the commissioners. The commissioners are here to accept that audit report. It does not, in my opinion, and I assume from what I've said through the past, reiterating from this, and that it does not matter whether they agree or disagree. It matters, but it does not matter for accepting the audit report whether they agree or disagree.
Mm-hmm.
They can, after they get the report, they can say they disagree with certain items or management disagrees with certain items, and they will take that up with the auditors. But the auditors have a general report that they presented to the audit committee, and the audit committee now presents it to the commissioners. First of all, the auditor has stated that there are no new policies were adopted, and the application of existing policies of the town has not changed. In other words, it's all the same as it was last year. Accounting estimates by management are important because they show future events affect both positively and negatively on the financial status of the town. The most sensitive estimate affecting the financial status of the town is that management estimation of depreciation. The auditors evaluated all the key factors and assumptions, and management determined that that the assumptions that management has made are reasonable and in relation to financial statements as a whole. All of the disclosures herein are neutral, consistent, and clear. In other words, basically, it's just a fairly easy audit to go through. Difficulties with the audit, there were no significant difficulties in dealing with management whatsoever. Corrected and uncorrected misstatements, any and all possible misstatements were corrected to the complete satisfaction of the auditors and were immaterial, both in individual and aggregate assessment to the financial statement. In other words, if anything was misstated, it was corrected, and they were immaterial individually and overall to the aggregate audit. There were no major discrepancies that could be significant that arose during the audit. No second opinion was requested by management. And if there is a second opinion that's requested by management, then the auditors are consulted by the second set of auditors if there was no second opinion requested. The auditors do not express an opinion, which is pretty significant. They do not express opinions on the effectiveness of the town's internal controls. In other words, the town's internal controls are set up in a budgetary relationship. The audit is set up on the generally accepted accounting principles. The auditors who go by generally accepted accounting principles have made no judgment on pro or con, basically, on the appropriateness how the town handled their internal financial affairs. There was one material weakness, and the difference between deficiency and weakness, deficiencies are a limited item. Material weakness is something that is going to be a consistent material problem according to the auditor. And that was that the town does not employ enough people in the auditing section of the town to eliminate incompatible duties. In other words, to totally segregate somebody writing a report to someone else, possibly checking that report and saying it's valid. They also found that during the current year, and I'm going to flip over to a couple of things that I have here. I apologize. During the current year, a couple items that they recommended. One, that you the town make more current and regular deposits of financial money. They found that sometimes this money will not be deposited for up to 15 days. And they felt that was significant enough to say that you must do it sooner or more often. And they talked about most of the discrepancies between what the auditors came up with, the final figures on the town, and what the town originally came up with through their budgetary process, were discrepancies in what the auditors suggested, special revenue funds. And these are items, the difference between the budgetary process and the GAAP process for auditing. But the auditors have suggested that the town go more towards a GAAP way of doing their budgetary process. And it's generally accepted accounting principles. They specifically said that they were not condemning the way the town was doing the budgetary process, but for their sake, they want the town to go more towards the generally accepted accounting practice. Such items as the town in recording grant monies, the town sets it aside under the line, and so that it pays, for instance, if we have a grant to pay for an extra policeman, the extra salary and that grant go below the line. And that happened from years past when people would say, stand right here where I am, and somebody would say, well, why are the police over by $50,000? Mm-hmm. Everybody goes like, no, wait a minute, we hit our budget. I mean, and what the police are talking about is that we zeroed out our budget. Mm-hmm. What the line item showed was that the police budgeted, let's say, $100,000 or $200,000 for salaries, and they spent $250,000. And they're forgetting that they had a $50,000 income in the grant. And so they went to that above and below the line, but the auditors are saying that we shouldn't have that. The auditors are saying that, you know, basically, when it comes in, log it in. When you expend it, you know, show the expenditure for that year. That, in and of itself, causes some problems, yes. Just like the budgetary process we have now causes problems. So you have to have extensive notes and review those notes. And people have to, you know, if you're going to stand up here and talk about this is me pleasure tonight, you have to know why, when actually you're financially sound. And it looks like you're over budget when it comes to GAAP.
Mm-hmm.
So, they made a number of items that talking about how to handle accounts, how to handle fixed assets, how to handle bank statements. It's process that they would like the town to change the process, and we'd be here for the next 3 hours if I explained every process on everything that happened. I want to make a statement about, very quickly, about what I think, whether this should be, whether all these records should have been on the town
website,
excuse me, specifically asked by the chairman and the auditors, not the audit committee, chairman and the auditors, that it was a private document between the auditors, the audit committee, the town commissioners, and management, and was only to be used for that until it is accepted by the mm-hmm. commissioners. I disagreed with that. I personally think it could have been put up as a draft with the idea that we always know that auditors could amend they could amend it 3 months from now. I mean, we have no choice in that, but they can do anything they want to do, because they're the company that did the auditing. If they find something later on, they could amend it. But I thought it should have been published as a draft. That doesn't mean I'm right, and that doesn't mean somebody else is wrong. It just means it's a difference of opinion. So that's where we stand on that. basically, the final numbers, and if anybody wants to know specific numbers, excuse me, we'll get to questions. If anybody wants to know specific numbers, we have a couple fine financial people here from the town, and they're going to address any specific questions you have about specific numbers. I'm here to address just the audit in general. The auditors found no problem, or let's put this way, found minor problems with the town's way of handling their books. They want them to go to a GAAP policy, or follow the GAAP policy more than what they're doing. As far as I can tell, with my limited knowledge, most towns are going with a hybrid system, somewhere between what the town does now and what is GAAP approved. So most towns in this area anyway. So that's where we stand. The town is basically, the town is in the black. Through the town records, it was stated that it was approximately $50,000 in the black. Through the GAAP records, or GAAP way of accounting, it's about $46,000, I think. Isn't that correct, Mark? Correct. Yeah. So, other than that, I mean, I'll be glad to take questions if it's anything specifically about specific items, line items, or finances. We're not here to discuss the budget. We're here to discuss the audit. So, yes, sir?
My whole question, Dale, was, okay, great audit report, sounds good now.
Please. And he really should come up. We'll be videotaped.
Just come up, take
please come up.
It's on the mic. That's my fault.
Right,
it's got
to follow the rules.
Yeah.
What's your
head? I'm Phil Winkler, and my whole question is, I think it's a good audit report and all that, but who specifically is responsible for implementing the recommendations of the audit report? Is it Mark, you know, for instituting policies and procedures?
It would be Mark and the commissioners.
Okay. Let me just take a crack at this. Dale, just a couple things. One, we have Amy Brand here, who is mm-hmm. CPA, is a technical question. Amy is now new with the company,
mm-hmm.
With the town system. The second thing is that the town received an unqualified audit,
unmodified
audit,
unmodified.
Which is the highest standard that can be given by the accounting firm. Is that correct? And three, what will happen is in the next week or two, there will be a management letter being forwarded to the town when that management letter comes in, Anthony and I and Andy will be going over with the commissioners, and we will look and see if their formal recommendations and where they think there might be some deficiencies. In addition to that, we're going to be having a conversation before we start putting together next year's budget to see if we're going to go through more of a gap-oriented budget, which has its own set of issues, or continue doing it the way we do it. And those conversations need to take place before December, which is when we start putting together next year's budget. So that's
on top of it. That's
well, not only we don't know, but what we're going to do is we're going to get a management letter coming out soon, which will include what they consider deficiencies and or recommendations. Amy, is that your understanding?
Well, they're getting recommendations.
Yeah, recommendations.
And I think they're working right.
So, thank you.
Good to see you.
Yeah. Would you like to come up and give your name on the record?
Georgia Leonhardt, just to follow up on what you just said, I was at the audit committee meeting of July 25, and my understanding was that a document was presented to all of the members of the audit committee that was, in fact, the management letter that you are referring to. Is that correct or incorrect?
Incorrect.
What was the document that was given at that point in time?
There was no, to my knowledge, the management letter has not been issued.
You had not received it as of then, but
I have not received it since then. Okay.
Thank you.
I'll look forward to that.
I'll get back to my case.
Shouldn't the audit committee be giving us some kind of assessment how we should respond to the recommendation?
I'm sorry, shouldn't the audit committee give some sort of...
Yeah, we have an audit committee. Shouldn't it be their job to give us advice on whether to accept or not accept recommendations?
Oh, the advice of the chair and the advice of the audit committee is to accept the audit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Again, you may have some things you might not agree with, but it is our advice that we've got an unqualified opinion from them that we're doing. The town is doing very well. The town is in the black, and you should accept it.
But you don't want to give. I mean, you guys are the experts. Shouldn't you give us advice relative to the recommendations to
when we get the management letter,
so you'll be meeting again.
When we get the management letter, we certainly would do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
By the way, we should look to implement I'm hoping that in September and October we implement we discuss how we want to change things.
Right.
Because come December we'll start working on next year's budget. And to the degree that we make changes, it would be fine and appropriate, but that's the time to do it.
Yeah. So the process would be the audit committee would meet again, we would review the management letter, and we'll discuss it at some point, probably in October, November.
So with that in mind, can we just motion to approve
sure.
the audit
committee? I have a couple questions before we do motion. Dale, I attended the audit committee, I appreciate all your work, and I apologize for being late, I got caught in traffic.
No, that's no problem.
But anyway, a couple questions about what I've been. I asked Mark and Nancy about the what was on page. Last year, the audit committee gave us a supplement that included pages 34. There was a divider page, and then page 34, 35, and 36, and 37. It's my understanding from the town that wasn't included in this year's report. And I want to know, and it's really good because it's an itemized list and it tells you how the numbers appear and where they appear prior to these pages. So it was eliminated this year. Why was it eliminated and who made that decision?
I can't honestly tell you why it was eliminated. Mine goes to page 34.
Okay.
And I don't know, I wasn't on the committee last year, so I don't know why there's a difference.
Okay, so
if there's anybody else that, I mean, talking about Mark or any of the accounting staff, I know I'd be more than happy to
do it. I have no idea. The formatting of the report and how many pages it is and how the page pagination works, I don't know.
The numbers have nothing, no relevance to this. All I'm saying is it was a supplement and the information on those pages is what I'm looking for, not the pages by number. I don't know if Amy or you can agree with this, Amy, or
Nancy.
Based on the report that they supplied us this year, there's a content page. and the content page for 434 pages.
Right.
Does last year's report have a content page?
Yes, and if the content pages are identical up to page 35, and we're missing that from this year's report.
So my point is, on that content page, how many pages do they say are in the report?
For this year or last year?
For last year.
37.
So last year, for some reason, they gave 37. This year, they gave 34. What was submitted by the audit report? We have no say in the contents of the audit report.
Okay, so if I want the answer, if I would like that information, then I contact the auditing firm? Because I don't know why they left that out.
I would think you should go see the committee. You should not talk to the auditors.
I have a couple other questions about the committee. The chair of the committee mentioned...
By the way, I would call Larry Silver.
Yeah, talk to the auditors.
But if you call him next week, it's no problem.
And he can direct me.
Larry works very, very intimately with the auditors.
Okay. Right. Well, I know Larry's very conscientious and he has incredible credentials.
Oh, yeah.
The only thing is, when I asked him about the privacy, their advice to keep this confidential, even though everything was subject to change, he said, I'm not familiar with FOIA, so that's not my area. And so they talk about destroying certain documents. And I really got a little antsy, and Fred, maybe you can help us out here. I got a little antsy because anything dealing with public monies and our month-to-month transactions, it's always been public. It's always public. It's public money. Why, if everything's subject to change and amendments, why would it be so secretive?
And the only thing I would tell you is that their report, it's a very good point, Nancy brought up. Their report says the content, on the content page, says it goes to 34. So there was no, on this report, there was no 35, 36, 37.
Yeah, but also, I want to mention also that during the audit committee meeting that I also attended, I mentioned to the audit committee that right after the meeting, I was going to post the draft on the website right after the meeting. And then both Larry Silver and the auditor asked me, So I didn't really question or cross-examine them. I just, it was okay. So to me, that's what I did.
Well, I just want to caution the town that we get FOIA requests constantly. I don't want us to get into a tangle.
We had a meeting with Ed Black from the AG's office. I talked with him, and he said that if it's a draft report, it does not have to be posted.
So, my understanding is that until audit reports are final, They're always kept private. They're final, they become public. It's always been my understanding.
Okay, well.
I mean, I reviewed this thoroughly. I think it's a thorough audit report. They gave us a top rating. I mean, I'd just like to motion that we approve.
All I'm looking for, just for the record, I'm not asking for it tonight, just for the record, I'm looking for the itemized list that goes with revenues, accommodations, taxes, et cetera. And here are the pages. So it's not any a matter of page numbers. It's the information we weren't provided this
check
year.
That's Larry Silver, Anna.
So here's the copy if Larry wants to know exactly what I'm looking for.
Right.
Because I don't want the town to think I'm going against you. I'm just trying to find the information. And then the final question is, what about the destroying of documents? That I heard a comment about that. I didn't ask the committee about it. Do we have to be concerned about that, Felicia?
Well, we have to be concerned about, we have to be concerned about the integrity of documents. I do think, though, that these duties to maintain a document like this don't start from the commencement of the drafting of the agreement. They start at some point. I wasn't anticipating this question tonight, but I would assume that once a draft document, until a document is accepted, it's a draft document subject to revision. It's not a public document. I'm not hearing anything that causes me tremendous concern. I think certainly you want to destroy draft documents because you don't want them to be, in my business, you don't want them to be mixed up with documents that are finalized.
And that was mentioned by the auditor, right?
There's a practical reason to do that. But numbers are, a draft document is constantly being developed, and until it's finalized, it's not a public record. Mm-hmm. After it's finalized and accepted, then it's a public record.
We have a motion and a... Do I have a second? Gary has a question.
I'm a little concerned because there's something destroying documents. And somebody that wants to use FUD and cause commotion is going to hear that, pick up on it. I don't know the background.
That was brought up by the audit committee, not by the town.
But we have a fiduciary responsibility. We want to make sure we're smart and we keep, you know,
well,
the FOIA coordinator.
You know, if I could just make a comment here, there will not be, and there is no intention by the audit committee to allow documents to be destroyed that are necessary for the final report.
Well, also, I would imagine that Larry probably saw 20 different versions of this as it got, before he even got to my desk, before he was prepared to show me a copy. Larry worked on lots of different versions. I think Larry understands.
I think this is no different. I mean, if I'm doing RFPs, you know, in my line of work, professional work, and you've gone through 50 drafts sometimes on the big ones, you delete a lot of the old stuff because it just confuses things if they get recirculated. I mean,
it's just like all the ordinances. We want to make sure it's the right one. So the best thing is when something's been revised to, just stick with a new one.
I think the terminology we're using is also, causing concern. I mean, if you choose to describe the deletion of a
outdated file
of data which is no longer, which is an older version, an obsolete version, it doesn't contain correct information. If you choose to describe that as destroying documents, then that sounds, it sounds like there's something amiss here.
I mean, that's my point, right? Is that using those terms in a meeting like this, where a lot of people that are online don't have the whole background, it just incites the wrong thing. So it sounds to me like what we're talking about here is we're purging old revisions of a document.
Right.
You didn't destroy the document, you destroyed old revisions. Get over it.
Outdated versions, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
I think that clarification is helpful.
Yeah. Well, it's just like,
if that's what it means.
Get over it. The document is not destroyed.
Right.
You've got a copy. Right.
Right.
So
right.
It's the iterations of that document that were destroyed.
Mayor, I made a motion.
Yeah.
Like, no,
I would like to have a second to the motion, please.
A
second to the motion?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We need to move on. It's 6 o'clock. If you have other questions, you should get to talk to Larry Silver.
I'm not sure I understood the motion.
My motion is just to approve the audit
report.
Approve
the audit.
And so is it true that it's an independent report, so we really don't have an option?
Shouldn't the words be accept the audit?
To accept it. I don't think we have an option
to approve.
Right.
But
yeah.
Accept. Okay, fine.
So
I'm modified to say accept.
I've heard the word
approve.
Accept and approve. So what is the actual motion at this point? Accept.
Technically speaking, I think the terminology should be accept, but I think either way, there's no legal distinction.
I'll modify my motion to say we accept the audit report.
All right, Courtney, do you modify your second to that? Okay. All right, all in favor then of accepting the audit? Aye. Okay.
Thank you all.
Thank you, Dale, for your work and all the audit committee.
A lot of work.
I appreciate
thank you, guys.
It. Okay. We now move back to our regular agenda, and the next item is approval of the minutes. And thank you, Amy and Nancy, for all your work in this.
Okay.
Bye now. Are there any questions about the minutes or any changes to the minutes? We have minutes from June and July. So let's start with June. Any changes or edits to the minutes from June? If not, may I have a motion to approve the minutes from June?
Was that the one with it where we need the beach, the bay beach?
Yes.
June and July.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I mentioned to on an email was that I didn't know if you wanted to put down that we didn't just jump at the first name that came along, that we was missing, because we made considerations for multiple names. I don't think that made the final cut. Does that matter to you? Because I just thought it was something worth mentioning.
I mean, that's true. We did.
Well, I think that's true with most things.
And a lot of people don't want to listen to the tape.
I don't know if that's significant to amend the minutes, but
I didn't want to ask you to think I was being picky, but I didn't know. I said it's up to you. Whatever you decide.
All right. Well, what the rest
of? I've been actually believing anybody would be picky.
Oh,
yeah. Right.
Thank you.
All right. Anybody? You just want to approve it as it is, or do you want to amend it? What do you want to do?
Well, I think if they just look at the timestamps, they'll know that we talked about it for a while.
That's just a good point. All right. With that in mind, we have a motion to approve the minutes.
Sure. So moved.
Okay. Second? Do I have a second to approve the minutes, please?
I wasn't there, so I can't.
Oh, you weren't there. Derek? Diana?
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye? Okay. You're right about the time. It took at least 6 minutes. decide the name. So, all right, so the minutes for June are approved. Now July, any questions or edits to the minutes for July 11th? All right, if not, we have a motion to approve.
I move we approve.
All right, second? Second to approve the minutes for July, please? All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And you were not, right? So that's a 3-1 with David abstaining because you were not here, and four to zero, really, with one abstention. Sorry. And the same thing for June because Courtney wasn't here, so you're abstaining on that one. So just for the record, did you get that? Okay. All right, very good. Next, a presentation of two videos. Ashley, are you ready to run those? Let me give a little introduction before you hit the start button. This is a
public hearing project.
Were we supposed to do the public hearing before the two videos?
The announcements go are on the agenda before the public hearing, right?
Yeah, but it says public hearing 6 p.m.
We do the public hearing and go back to the other things.
I just know there are people who came for the public hearing at 6.
Yeah. All right, what do you want to do?
It doesn't matter.
I mean, are we required
to? We approved the agenda as it was, and it's what the agenda is. What do you recommend, Fred?
It's not legally significant. I mean, you don't want to have a public hearing an hour before you say you're going to have it.
Yeah.
That would violate people's right to know what this is. But if this is going to take 10 minutes, I don't think you run afoul.
Right, and I don't think
do people in the audience want us to get to the public hearing right away?
Any objections? Anybody object if we take a few minutes for announcements and so forth?
Okay. I didn't know how long the video was.
It's only 3 or 4 minutes.
How many?
3 or 4 minutes.
Okay, thank you.
All right, it's not like a movie. We're not watching a movie. All right.
Popcorn and half hour.
Yeah, no. We've wasted enough time talking about it, actually. But
I apologize.
All right, there's two presentations of video, and I wanted to explain what they were first. The first one, it's probably one of the best pieces of PR we've had for this town, maybe since the inception of the town, quite frankly, and talks about what a great family-friendly town it is and how it's going into a transition. The second one is a very short clip, and it's a result of my talking with the businesses this winter and telling them that they need to start serving healthier foods. And they were upset that, you know, our own property owners don't go to the restaurants as much as they'd like them to. And I said, your idea of a vegetable is a French fry with ketchup on it. And that, you know, the people in Dewey are a little older. They've got diabetes. They've got heart disease. They can't eat cheesesteaks, pizza, and French fries every day of the week. And why don't they start serving vegetables? So the second one is about that. So if you would just roll it there back, Ashley. Can we put it to its maximum screen? Okay.
Gary, you'll be pleased to know we're about at 1988 on technology now.
This is OK this direction. Towards the beach. That's all part of an effort to clean up. Seems to be lifeguards here in Dewey only looked in that direction towards the water. But in the past several years they've also been looking in this direction, towards the beach. That's all part of an effort.
A friend of ours, we don't go to all the different beaches. We've tried, you know,
And the other day, in fact, when I was on the beach on the Wednesday, she said it was a day. I looked my wife and left, and I had 32 kids on the age of 10, and about half of them. And that gives you an idea of what it was like. It was like a
or at least a family vacation destination for families like the Savannahs who plan on coming back next year. Into a Peter Neal of your RTE Coast TV News.
Mayor Dewey Beach, I had to challenge the restaurant here to implement a more healthy menu.
Concerned about the eating as supersized. Fewer restaurants in Dewey Beach are dishing out healthy menus, but if Mayor Hand can get her way, that could soon change.
And one of the things that I would like to see is more true restaurants that we have something besides pizza, cheesecakes, and hamburgers.
According to a recent Gallup poll, Delaware came in as the third most obese state in the country. That's why some restaurant owners in Dewey are taking eating healthy quite seriously.
We have a veggie sandwiches, food, smoothies, coffee, and diet coffee, and detail coffee. So we offer pretty much everything coffee.
One of the restaurants I've heard today is trying to answer the call is Woody's here at Dewey Beach, and they serve all kinds of healthy food on the menu.
So we have a raspberry water salad, we have royal cracking, we have walnuts, raspberries, and we have our tea vegetables. So it's very healthy, options on the menu, fresh, great.
Leading some people in Dewey, listen to their list, and it's such a healthy option.
Turning from the next.
This measure changes here in a small beach community. In Dewey Beach, Nick Brewer, WRDE Coast TV News.
Okay, that's from our newest station, TV station in Rehoboth, WRDE. And doing a great job of covering Dewey from a positive point of view. So. Secondly, we have an update on the audit. I'm sorry?
The town manager, do we have links for these?
Are these on our website?
If they're not, I can certainly get them.
Yeah, they should be.
Great idea.
Good, because I've gotten letters from three or four people that, this week that apparently never seen this video. And you know, they just paint a very negative picture, and it'd be nice if other people could actually see that and see what people are saying.
And you will do.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, and Mark, can you give us a quick update on the lawsuits from Jeremiah's? And
well,
we're going to do that later.
Let's do it later. Can you just?
Okay.
I'll make that as part of the
Just quickly, we did have a summary judgment in our favor in the Jeremiah's lawsuit, and that was wonderful for me since I've been involved in it for like 6 or 7 years in this. So it's like, yoo-hoo time for me. Okay, and then just a quick reminder that August 9th, tomorrow, is a joint planning commission meeting with the commissioners and the planning commission. They're talking about sea level rise and a lot of other things they're working on, and that will be at 11 o'clock here at the life saving station. Okay? Now, may I open up the public hearing? We have a public hearing on an ordinance to amend section 1-16 of definitions of the Code of the Town of Dewey Beach, Delaware, to define half-story as recommended by the Planning Commission of Dewey Beach. And half-story is a partial, is being defined, this is what we'll be voting on, a partial story under a gable or hip roof, excluding mansard or gambrel roofs, the wall place of which on at least two different opposite sides are not more than 3 feet above the floor of such story. So I guess David isn't here. Are you? Okay, great, thank you. If you could give us a quick overview, and if you would, Mike, please introduce yourself. Thank you very much for coming.
Mike, I'm Vice Chair of the Planning Commission. David King, the chair, couldn't be here tonight, so he ask you to come and help answer any questions you might have regarding this subject, and bring with me some of the history of it. It seems to have started in 2008 when I lived here, but he has given me some information regarding it, so I guess I'll just bring it up if you have any questions regarding it, how it kind of happened.
Well, basically, I'm not sure everyone would understand what mansard and gambrel roofs are, and wall plates, if you just define some of the terms used within the definition as it started.
Apparently, in 2008-09, when you planned the zoning was rewritten in comprehensive plan, a definition was included for the NR district of Dewey Beach, where the restriction there would be to have a 2.5-story house. They could still build a 35-foot height limit, but they could only build a 2.5-story house. And that was accepted and approved and accepted into the ordinances. But the definition of a half-story apparently was left hanging. For whatever reason, it was never brought before the commissioners, or the commissioners didn't vote on the definition of what is a half-story. And again, apparently there seems to be some concern going on in town now in the NR district that, again, I'm just repeating the information that was given me. I don't know why it's becoming a topic right now, but there seems to be some concern that they want to make sure that people who are applying for a building permit have a clear definition of what a 2.5-story is, so that there's no argument upon the issuance of a review of a building permit or the architectural plan. There's a study being made now by the Planning Commission from members of the community about the character of the NR district. And there's some concern that possibility of houses being built in the future, or maybe some recently, that do not fit into the character, and people are slipping in under this 2.5-story definition. We have not, the present Planning Commission has not reviewed this definition. Have we been asked to? I don't think we've been asked to, but I know we have not.
So this was from previous and you haven't reviewed it?
We have not reviewed it.
No.
We have not. This is the definition that was presented in 2008 and accepted, approved by the Planning Commission in 2008. The present Planning Commission has never seen, well, we have not been given this definition.
You've seen it.
We have not been given this definition to review and vote on.
May we ask questions now?
Okay.
Did your commission, a separate issue, a side issue to this, it says in the ordinance that the town has recently received applications for building permits in the NR. Did your commission look at what those permits were about and why this is being added? May not talk about a half, 2.5 story, but did you talk about permit applications in general pertaining to this ordinance?
That was brought up. We had I'm going to call it a public meeting or public hearing in June. We didn't have a quorum at the Planning Commission, so it wasn't an official meeting. But many members of the NR neighborhood came and voiced their opinion for and against revisions to the zoning code and buildings that have been built recently that aren't in the character of the neighborhood. That was kind of like, that ended up being more or less an open meeting because it wasn't a quorum and people were just allowed more or less to get up and speak and talk over again and just, you know, conversation. Then in our July meeting, we did have information that was brought to the Planning Commission regarding the NR district. A presentation was made by, I don't remember his name, the fellow who lives in the NR district, he's an architect, who put together what he thought was a synopsis of the character of the NR district, the whole north side. And we discussed that. People in the audience questioned the need at that time, why are we even getting into reviewing the NR zoning at this time, what's going on? Dave said there was a concern that the commissioner had regarding, you know, the timing of buildings going up and possibility of having to start revealing the zoning code to make sure that it was appropriate for the character of the NR district. And what was the other one? They just wanted to make sure that the present zoning was written so that it could keep and maintain the character of the NR district. During all that presentation, someone mentioned or brought up the fact and asked the question, how many of these building permits have really been issued? I think the answer was maybe two or three building permits were issued in the recent number of years, you know, that could be considered. So that's kind of the history that I know that.
Thank you.
Now, the half, two and a half story is really meant to, the definition of this two and a half story is really the best way I can describe it. You can picture a Cape Cod style house where you have dormers on the upper floor. And if you've been in these Cape Cod style houses, there's living area up there, but it's minimized because of the slope of the roof. So you can still get up to the You can still get up to the living area and use it for the living area, but it's minimized because of how it has to be constructed. And one of the restrictions, or the main restriction, one of the main restrictions of this two and a half story is what I call a knee wall. They call it wall plate. And basically what that is the knee wall, if you're standing on the floor of the upper floor of the attic, or whatever you want to call it, it's the side wall that comes up this high on each side, and then the roof has to meet it and go up so that you're limited to this point upward as to the character of that house. It prevents a three-story box type house with a flat roof. It prevents a mansard type of a roof where you could build a three-story house and disguise it, but complement it, whatever term you want to use, to put a mansard roof on there to give it some kind of a pitch. So it's kind of like a fake pitch roof. So those type of buildings or architecture would be denied with this definition. You couldn't put a flat roof. You could build a flat roof, but it, you know, couldn't exceed the two and a half story height. You'd have to have that gable pitch on the roof, gable or hip roof. And you couldn't build a mansard style roof or house. So what it's trying to do is give a complete definition of what the type of a house can be restricted under the two and a half story regulation.
Did you just say it presents the flat roof or does not prevent the flat roof?
If you were to build two half stories, it prevents a flat roof. You could do a flat roof if you did a two-story house.
Or a one-story.
Or a one-story, yeah. Right? Okay. Is that correct?
I believe that would be correct. Yeah. I hope I'm not talking
out of... Well, this defines the half story, so I suppose if they put one and a half story,
yeah.
But they still wouldn't be able to put a flat roof then, so...
Yeah, it's in the zoning code already that the NR is restricted to a two and a half story house.
Right. Gary, you had a question?
I religiously read fine home building. I'm not a builder, but for the life of me, when you said wall plates, that hip wall was not what I was thinking. And so I just find this, some of the wording awkward. And for the average person, I think this is hard to read and hard to visualize. Like I say, I'm fine home building. It's one of the premier magazines for high-end, high-quality builders. And I just haven't seen some of these terms. And maybe I'm naive or live a sheltered life, but...
Gary, let me take a stab at it with an example. Are you familiar, like up in Rehoboth by the Sea, the house style that's called the Crow's Nest? That's the one that it's like a one and a half, it's actually, by this definition, it would be a one and a half story. So it's got a full first floor, then the second floor has a peaked roof and real short walls on each side. The walls on the sides are like two or three feet high. That's That's what a half story is. So the roof kind of comes in at an angle on the second floor. This is a 1.5 story house, and the walls are short. And what this is saying is that with 2.5 stories, you could have the two full floors, but the third story would have to be similar to what it is with like the crow's nest model in NR, where that top floor has the roof coming in at an angle. I mean, that's the most straightforward way to think about it.
This is the old definition that was approved in 2008. I'm not familiar with wording this definition either. If I was to write it, I would change some of the language. I would use the term knee wall versus wall plate. It seems to be more accepted.
I don't like the wording, and the part of it says roofs common with wall plates of which on at least two reference. It just reads awful to me. Is there any reason would prevent us from having illustrations in these ordinances? So when people pick this stuff,
pictures worth 1,000 words. Yeah.
It makes it a lot clearer for people.
You know, you could refer to an appendix, and you could include any helpful materials that you thought were useful as part of your code. You could have an appendix with pictures and outlines.
Which words, Gary, do you think don't have clear definitions? Because the gable, hip, mansard, and gambrel, those are all commonly accepted
terms.
You make
a plate on a wall, something's going to be down sitting on the deck, and there would be a wall on top of it. You call it a thick wall. The plate, to me, just brings up a whole mental picture.
The plate is the top of the wall.
Wall plate.
Yeah.
I have to comment on myself. I would have said the knee wall. It's more commonly referred to in the architect, in my world at least, when you go into that house or that part of the construction, you see the knee wall. And the knee wall is basically the extension of the outside framing upper floor, and the limitation of it, you can only go 3 feet high.
That's more easy to visualize to me than a plate. A wall plate. I don't get it.
You're right, it could be confusing, I think. I think the intent is to limit the height of that knee wall to be 3 feet, so that when you get into that half story, it's a restricted living area, and it keeps the character of the NR district.
Yeah, and being an engineer, I'm not any wizard on the English writing. But I just find that sentence very hard. The way it's put together to be very awful to read.
Look, I mean, if you look it up online, it's very clear. A wall plate is the horizontal member of timber at the top of a wall. I mean, a horizontal timber situated along the top of a wall at the level of the eave, bearing the ends of the joists or rafters. So there's a very clear definition for this.
People could look this up and
people could look it up.
Figure it out.
These roof names that are known are commonly accepted terms. Gable roof is a commonly accepted term. Hip roof is a commonly accepted term. Mansard and gambrel roof are commonly accepted terms. And they put the partial story under gable or hip because if you have like a mansard or gambrel roof, in essence you're kind of going almost straight up, right, and then kind of coming in at the top. And so they're saying if you want to use a half-story definition to get that extra floor, you basically have to do a gable roof or a hip roof, which comes in at all four sides. Right? It's kind of like a gable that comes in at all four sides rather than just two. And so what they're basically trying to do is make it so with the half-story you don't necessarily, drive a truck through it and basically say my roof is vertical with a flat thing on top of it. That's really what it is. So all those terms that are used are commonly accepted terms. And, the situation we have right now is we have a code that very clearly states you can only have half a story. What we don't have is a definition of what half a story means. So we've got the vast majority of people who see, well, you can only go half a story, and they're probably, just staying away from it. Mm-hmm. But, you have some people who are saying, well, you haven't defined it, so I'm just going to build, a three-story house.
Yeah.
So that's the reason why this is, before us now.
So basically saying having something is better than nothing.
If you don't have a definition.
And we can always improve it over time.
Yeah, if you don't have a definition in place at all, then what are people going to do?
All right. Well, this is a public hearing, so are there any other comments that you have, Mike? Or you'll be, if you'd sit up front in case you have other questions. Dale Cook was the first, had his hand up, then Rick Judge, and then Mush, in that order, please. Please identify yourselves when you come up, even though we know who you are, the tape phone.
It doesn't matter whether you agree or disagree with what the definition is. The fact is, the code is not enforceable or lacks enforcement if you don't have the definition in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I agree completely with what David just said. They are commonly accepted terms, and you can look them up online. And I've done that myself because I thought about enlarging the house. But I don't know whether I agree with it or not, but in 2008, this was supposed to have gone in, and
yes,
it didn't. People are going to get away with it if you don't put some sort of definition in.
Okay, thanks for your comment. Rick?
Rick Judge, Chesapeake Street and New Orleans Street, and my primary interest in understanding what the half story is I want to build a modest 2.5-story house in the North End. And my question to Mike for the commission is that a half story?
Uh-oh. Is this, you know, this is it.
You have to know what you're actually defining.
Yeah.
This is a very vague description of a half story. And we have many, Gary's house is one of the best examples of a half story.
Mm. Okay. You have a picture of Gary's house, don't you?
If I could, I'll also make a comment at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, I think this exercise is maybe illustrative of the challenge that we have, and I'm anxious to hear but Mr. Parascavage is not our building official. I think
the council more than him understanding what this description of the half story could be interpreted to be.
Right, and I just wanted a disclaimer to be tossed out there too, that we value the opinion of Mr. Parascavage a great deal. He's here representing the planning commission, and he has personal experience in this field.
But my idea of a half story, when I asked Bill Mears 2 years ago what a half story was, he said it's very simple, it's half the size of the story below. No, that's not what half story is. Half story, in my mind, is basically knee wall, pitched roof with gable dormers or shed dormers built into it to make the best usable space in it. And that house that I showed you there basically has a pitched roof coming all the way down, no knee walls, but three large gables on three sides of it, which creates good living space, nice roof lines. I think it's attractive. I think it's in line with the character of the North End, but I'm not sure it qualifies under this vague description of a half story.
Well, if I had to interpret it for the building official, which I'm not, the first thing I would look at would be your knee walls, whether they were no greater than 3 feet.
Right.
If they were no greater than, if they were 3 feet or less, and this was under a gable or a roof, then yes, it would be acceptable under the definition.
And I think it's attractive. What we're trying to do on the North End is not have a big block house with a big flat roof.
Right.
And I was happy with 2.5 stories, and that's what I wanted to build. Just from a personal point, some people may want to have larger or whatever. I mean, this is a house that's currently being built on the North End in the NR.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure where the half story comes into play on this particular property. But it's permitted.
But is the first level habitable? Level is a garage.
According to the definition, anything above 6 feet is a story.
Okay.
But it's not only a two-car garage, there's moving quarters as well. And a second and a third story.
Yeah, I get your point, but I don't really think we should kind of go into.
What I want to build, what many people want to build up there, we don't want to restrict it to the point we're building out of space and you can't use a third story. And there is another part of definitions which I think to touch on, not so much, but it ties in with story. And when we come to the definition for story, there are two extra paragraphs put in there. One limits the use of dormer space in a story. If you have more than 50% of your level of the half story in dormers, it no longer is a half story.
Yeah, that's not under.
I know that's under consideration now, but also I want to point out that in 2009 and 8, when the definitions were revised and recommended to the commission, there were 151 definitions. And 103 of those definitions have major reviews for brand new definitions. They all need to be adjusted. We can't have an ordinance in a town meeting for 103 different definition changes. It's ridiculous.
Are you saying...
Are they definition changes, though? I'm sorry, or are they just definitions? I mean, there's a difference.
These are your definitions. All the red are changes.
Okay.
Are you,
all right.
Okay.
I see what you're
so
saying. Okay.
I'm not sure I understand your point. Is your point that we should be taking a comprehensive approach and not a band-aid approach?
I don't understand if the baby should go to the definition on the half story as opposed to bulk, as opposed to ground coverage, as opposed to hotel, motel. You've got a lot of important issues that need clear definition.
I want to kind of address this point about the one versus everything. One thing is the committee, planning and zoning, already basically approved and recommended all the definitions, including half story. They sent them forward. That happened, and it was, for lack of a better word, it was kind of a mistake not to adopt it. No conceivable set of commissioners would have meant to adopt all the zoning code and not adopt definitions that went along with that. I think it's kind of inconceivable. The situation we're in now, you showed a picture of a house. That house is what prompted this, because we realized, whoops, we've got a big gap, right, in that people don't know what a half story is, right?
Well, don't get it. You have half the story, story below.
Well, and that, you know.
Somehow, a year later,
so I'm not going to get into Bill issuing the permit or not issuing the permit, but the issue is we don't have clarity on what a half story is with the code as it is today without a definition. And we clearly have people who are basically buying property and want to improve. So we have to put something in place, because without it, some people are going to say, well, I don't know what it is. I'm just building a two-story house. I'm not going to do anything. Other people are going to say, well, my idea of a half story is a full third floor, and, you know, prove otherwise. Mm-hmm. So we have to put a definition in place. This definition is what planning and zoning had thoroughly spent a lot of time with and passed years ago. And we're just trying to correct an administrative mistake so that we don't have multiple people basically taking advantage of a word of the code.
There are 102 other definitions that need to be discussed.
And that process is going on. And
yeah.
what planning and zoning made the decision to do was that this was relatively straightforward, and they thought that this could be done. The other definitions, they want to have public hearings and spend more time looking at them thoroughly and potentially revising.
Well, I'm glad you're having a public hearing because it is very important.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Rick. Mike just said that they didn't even discuss this definition in planning and zoning.
This particular commission is not.
Yeah, but my point is, why are we looking at a definition when we have things in the zoning code on the north end, like three-tier parking garages, that if somebody comes in and puts in an application for that, that's a bigger band-aid than this. I think we have what Rick said is we need to comprehensively look at the total package, because there are some people, and I'll give an example. Len Reed mentioned, I'm concerned about my vacant lot on 1A where my property rights could be affected by this. If after this vote I can't do something that I thought I could do before this vote, if we accept this definition in the code. And I'm not really sure what all that means, and I don't want to speak for him, but I understand I'm speaking for the concept. What do you think you can do today as far as your property rights under the current code without inserting this definition? And you were going back to the intent of 2008, but yet the 2014 Planning Commission has not even yet discussed it. And I would appreciate seeing the minutes of a meeting where they said, what does this definition mean? A mansard roof in Lewis is across from Irish Eyes and Fisherman's Wharf. It's one of the most expensive buildings in the town of Lewis.
It
may not be. It's a Victorian. It's absolutely gorgeous. I might not build it, but where I would deny my neighbor the right to build that, I've got bigger concerns than this definition, and that is that we're piecemealing this piece of the zoning code. And that really makes me uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. I agree with other definitions related to this exact situation that
mm-hmm.
are not yet addressed.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
My point.
I really think we should look at the whole. You don't even have a definition for planned residential development.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of work to do,
so,
there's no doubt about it,
so,
but we're trying to get something out of the book.
Anna, to your point, I mean, I think sometimes you can't necessarily wait to do anything. You're going to do nothing until you can get everything done. This is a fairly straightforward definition. There are some people who object to it because they would, in all honesty, they would want to build, some people want to build a three-story home. I mean, that's the fact. You ask the question about what it is. Some people would, the issue with the code right now, the way it reads, is some people, not necessarily a majority of people, but some people would say, if you don't have a clear definition of what half a story is, that I'm not limited to any number of stories, and I can build up to the 35-foot limit, which is clear, any number of stories that I can fit in that. That's the situation you have today. Some people would make that contention and try to pressure either the building official or the, you know, Board of Adjustment or whatever level of appeal that they can do whatever they want because the code's not clear.
Well, how many applications do you have pending for questionable...
You have the one that you decided to bring a picture in.
Well, that's already been permitted and done.
Yeah, yeah.
But the ordinance reads you have several applications that may not meet the criteria. How many applications do you have pending for homes that might not fit the 2.5 story that you envision?
I don't have.
We don't know.
But the ordinance says you have several applications.
It stated it in the ordinance. It says applications. It doesn't say several. It says applications.
Recently received applications for building permits in the NR district.
Which
how many do we have?
Which,
we don't have the answer to that question apparently. But the statement apparently is true. I mean, I don't know that anyone can contest that we have applications in which a definition would be helpful for our building.
Right. Well,
my point is there's one or two, and they're questionable. There's no need to rush this description through at the moment, and that's I made my point.
All right, Marcia, and then...
We do need to hear from the public.
Yeah, I know, we are.
And we can save some of the deliberations for later after we've had the benefit of hearing from everyone. We do have a letter that should be made part of the record, which I think mirrors the comments
Marcia's
made
up to talk now. Can we get into that? But, okay.
Okay, Marcia Schick, Carolina. I think the charge that the commission the council gave to the planning commission was to take a comprehensive look at the North End in anticipation of those many 10-year, 9-year land leases coming due, which would be around 2024. I agree. The piecemeal of this, I think, is very dangerous because there are things when you affect one definition, you essentially affect zoning, and you affect other definitions when that commission is going back to look comprehensively, and they talk about possibly pulling back the setbacks in the backyard. Well, if you are going to compromise setbacks in the back and side yard, maybe you don't want to compromise so much on the third floor. Because if you do that, then you're going to have people building out and taking out all the trees. So there's unintended consequences of piecemealing zoning like this together. And I would like to see the application that you all listed. It would be interesting. But you already have code that addresses this house that got approved, which is a three-story house. There's another house on the ocean front that's going up. You already have code. Your building inspector has that code. The definition of a story in Dewey Beach Municipal Code, Chapter 185.116 states, a space under a roof suitable for living quarters and having a clearance of 6 feet or more at any point shall be considered a story. This should not have been approved by your building official based on your current code. This qualifies as three full stories, more than 6 feet each, suitable for living. I think there needs to be an investigation as to why that was approved when you have existing code that would have prevented it. There's another house on the ocean front, the same thing. It is a full three stories, 8 foot each level. Your current code prevents that. The question we'd like to know is how did that get approved when not having a definition of a half story had no effect on what was being built there because your current code defines the limitations of that. I really, really am quite disgusted by that, and I think that it should be looked at. I think we'd like to get the permits. I personally would like to have all the permits from those projects to look at. And I personally was told when I was designing a 2.5 story in the NR a couple years ago, we were told, and our architect was told by the building official, that the definition, the clear definition of a half story, was 50% of the square footage of the story below. And we were required by him to design our house to his definition. So I would like to look into why I spent money designing a house to a definition that I was given, and now there are houses with a three-full story that I'm being told the council, the building official, has no authority to deny that, but mine was clearly denied by a different definition. So you have that in the code. I really think that it should be used. I think you all should investigate the full files of these two projects and any others, and you should look at mine too. And I think you should apply the code you have consistently and fairly to all projects and with due care. And I think what this town needs is a due care ordinance that holds its officials accountable for doing their jobs with due care.
To Marcia's point, I think the whole reason why we're doing the half-story definition is to prevent that type of thing from continuing to happen. So,
no.
To your point about fairness, that's what we're trying to do,
you
is to make
that.
It clear.
The prevention's already there.
Okay. Ed Bestie?
Ed Bestie, I am on Cliff property with my wife on West Street and Houston. And I was on the P&D committee back in 07 who rewrote the new code. And we went through a lot of discussion about all these issues, including the sealers front and the pier back, as concepts to reduce the canyon effect and improve the air circulation in the back of the houses, which becomes stagnant during the summer. So the pier did also. But I haven't seen any of that yet. And I really think the committee should put this into a full review, as some of the others have suggested, and bring it up to date with what we really feel like our North End should be. I think there was a lot of trauma in 07 because of the Hanna project and the hotel, and a lot of factors had not been processed in people's minds. As you know, since 07, the values of the land have gone up 50%. So the house has to justify that investment. And I think I would bet the 2.5-story concept was taken care of by reducing FAR from 1.2 to 1. And I brought a diagram here of what the maximum you could do at one point in the NR. And the third level is half, roughly two-thirds the size of the second level. And that would end up being your main living area. And the other factor, as Marcia mentioned, was the effect on parking, because FAR 1 should theoretically increase our parking area on the ground. So the next point, I'm going over, it's a 3-foot wall. If you built a 3-story house, the third level with a 3-foot wall would result in about a 6 to 12 slope, which is greater than mine, which is a 4 to 12. But I think the point is that mine was fairly economically viable for solar panels. So when you increase that slope, you degenerate potential for some solar gain and ability to build a net zero energy house in our community. Now the ultimate net zero configuration is the flat roof, net zero energy. So there are some factors that have sort of changed the landscape since 07. Solar energy is a good example. So that's my recommendation, that you just postpone and give us more time to work on our concepts for the North.
May I ask?
Yes.
Mr. Bestie, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear the exchange about the terminology between Mr. Mahler and Mr. Gerstie?
Yes.
Do you have an opinion about that? Could this language be improved by deleting a reference to wall plates and inserting e-wall or something? I mean, you're not obligated to have an opinion, but if you had one, I'd like to hear it.
Yes, it was. It is somewhat confusing. But
the current language is.
Weren't you on the P&Z when this was written, Brad? Weren't you on the P&Z when this was written?
Tell them about that. Tell them about your experience. We were both former planning commissioners.
Well, I don't have any reason really to inform you. Our committee operated a lot on consensus of opinion, so seven people were seldom called on to vote. And that was probably a detracting factor in our committee function. And things had to move along. We were running out of time, but the discussions were well done, and a lot of good changes were made. And there happen to be a few in here that really are a snag in our construction to a constructor or builder in the North End. And I think also for the homeowner to achieve good value for their house and their investment in the North End. The wording here is exactly as was written in Table 2 in the code. So that has not changed. Is that right? The wall plate term was used.
That's what was given to me as what was written to me.
Right. And I don't know if it was tweaked since P&Z voted on it in 07, but that's how it is today.
But I just want to add that we're both of us, as relatives, we're married, husband and wife, got to disclose
but
that.
But you weren't related before you got married.
Okay. It's a matter of public record. We are both on the record for not being in favor of the current code. But as Ed said, it was a very tense time in 2008-2009. It was very tense. And we were both, it was very controversial. And because of this roof deck option, we're surrounded by front and side with a roof deck that we've never had a problem, never had noise, never had anything that was broken that needed to be fixed by our neighbors. So we went on the public record as saying we didn't even agree with the code that we have now. And I think that's important to know that's a bit of history that might affect our perception today.
Ed was on the committee, but you weren't.
I was on the planning commission before Ed.
Ed approved the language, but you did not.
They weren't on at the same time.
Yeah, we were. Yeah, right. He resigned as soon as I was elected. He resigned. But But I don't know. I think his vote was against doing it this way to begin with. Is that correct?
The only vote we had was at the end.
Oh, you didn't vote along the way.
Stop the reviewing, stop the writing and debating and issuing the code.
Okay.
But your recollection is that this was part of the recommendation from the at that time.
Yes.
To adopt this. Well,
personally, I didn't think North End got a fair shape. Now you have two spots zoning in many concepts, denying us the flat roof. Anyway, as an example.
All right. Thank you, Ed.
All right. Thank you.
Are there any other comments from anyone in the public?
Do we have minutes from that meeting?
I'm sure we do somewhere, but not here right now, no.
Wouldn't that be prudent to bring them?
We have the results of the outcome, not the minutes.
Were discussing 8 years ago?
5 years. 2009.
I think it's a good idea for P&Z to review presently the definitions that were done 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
All of them.
All right, well, Fred, what do you recommend?
Can I
the floor? Yes, please. Is there anyone else, too, that wants to make a comment? Or is this it?
There's a letter.
The letter. Okay, very good. Please introduce yourself.
My name is Greg Rick, and I live at 1302 King Charles, extended on the property with my brother and sister. Unfortunately, the value of the property in our neighborhood has grown a lot. And so what that does is that forces people to have to build larger houses to be able to afford the lots and to make a reasonable real estate value. And the reality of what the character of our neighborhood is really is different, because now people want two-car garages, they want media rooms, they want wine cellars. And the way the building code was originally set up with the 35-foot height limit and the three stories allowed people to now build houses that I think everybody wants, and I think some of the people in our area live in. So everybody wants to have houses like that, I believe. And so the second thing is, I'm an architect by trade, and I bought a house in 1998, and part of the reason I bought in that neighborhood is because it's always been an iconic, modern neighborhood. And the houses that were built there in the 60s were the most current houses they were. What this regulation does is this forces everybody to do a sloped roof traditional house. I've been sketching and drawing a modest-sized house to replace my house at some point that has a flat roof, and it has a deck on the second floor and a small room. It's probably going to be much smaller than what the code allows, but what this does is this stops me from doing building the house I want because it says the only way I can do a third floor is to start a sloped roof at the perimeter wall of the house and do a sloped roof up until you get to the point where you can stand up. So in essence, it's ruined the concept of my house, of ever being able to do a modern house in our neighborhood. And I think what it's going to do is going to create every house in the neighborhood being exactly the same because it creates a zoning envelope that is only one way to build a house. So we're going to end up with cookie-cutter houses that are the same width, the same height. They're going to all have the same side slope roofs. And it is going to stop people from being able to put decks on the second floor roof of their house and enjoy some of the sea breeze that a lot of people in the neighborhood do. And I'm an adult. I live an adult life. I don't throw wild parties up there, but I sure would be able, like to be able to have a deck and a view from the top of my house like everybody else has. The next thing I'd like to say is I think it's all real good that the commission is here, but really this should be a North End issue. If you drive through our neighborhood to come down here and live in your 35-foot, three-story houses, the determination on what we do at the two-and-a-half stories should really rest with the people that are building those houses. So I think the best thing for you to do right now is leave the zoning regulation untampered with and let the architects, the homeowners, and everything say, I'm going to build a two-and-a-half story house, and I'm going to figure out how I do it. Granted, you might get some stuff with a mansard roof that you don't like, but, you know, my neighbor has a purple house. I can't stand the color of their house, but it's the house they love, it's the house they live in, and it's what they want. So I think putting this regulation in place is like handcuffing architects like me from being able to build the house that I, when I purchased this land in my house in 1998 that I've been dreaming about, that I hope that someday I'll have the money and the time to build that house and retire down here.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm totally against adopting it. I really think you need to go back and look. I don't think there's anything wrong with somebody saying a half story is going to be a half of the floor. If they decide that the floor below is 1,000 square feet and they want to build 500 square feet on the third floor to create a little tower house, go look at some of the towns in Florida, the well-designed towns in Florida, where they let the houses go up and down and change all over. We're going to end up with a neighborhood where all the roofs are at exactly the same height.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, could you tell me your name one more time?
Greg Griffin.
Greg Griffin?
Griffin, yes.
Okay, great. Thank you,
and
Greg.
That's all I
have.
May I ask Mr. Griffin a question? I think what I heard you say was that you acknowledge that there is a restriction to a half story on the third floor.
Yeah, there's a restriction to a half story, but they didn't reduce the 35-foot height limit. So therefore, they're telling at least me and the thing that, okay, you can still go to 35 feet, but that half story has to be smaller. You can't do a full floor on that. So my interpretation of that definition was, oh, I can still do my tower on a piece of my house to get the changes in the level and do that modern flat roof house with the solar panels that I have in a green roof with the grass growing on it that I someday want to build. But now, when you adopt this regulation, I'm not going to be able to do that house because the only way I can get in that, you're not even saying, if you would even say that it would have to fit inside that zoning envelope of that, then I could at least say, okay, over here I could build a square tower in this piece of the house, but I couldn't build it, you know, within the envelope. They're not even saying that that it's within that envelope profile of what it is. It's saying it has to be under a roof. So you're dictating that every house in North Dewey Beach is going to be a traditional house with a sloped roof. And what happened there, when that neighborhood was built in the 60s, some of those iconic modern houses, you know, that's what we, the people that live there, that's what we desire. I want to see more modern houses. I don't want to see more of this, I don't want to say, you know, kind of beachy stuff that they do in Bethany. I want to be able to have a more distinctive neighborhood where we live here.
Well, thank you very much.
I wish you were around in 2009.
Yeah, yeah. So he was, but we didn't know about him. Yeah, do you have a question for
him? I have a comment. I agree with Mr. Griffin. I think the best thing we can do right now is don't elaborate on what a half story is and basically leave it up to the people building these homes with regards to how they want to deal with the half story. And if we can, if we want to interpret it as half the square footage of the second and first floors, then okay, you know, it seems we could live with that, and they could come up with some interesting houses. The thing that Marsha talked about bothers the hell out of me, but on the other hand, what did the building inspector have to work with? I don't know. You say that the code defines a story.
Yes, 185.116.
Yeah.
And it says it defines a story. So yeah. If you're coming in with an application, a story is defined as the anywhere that there it goes above 6 foot. That is a full story. Mm-hmm. So it's my assertion that. That already protected what David is trying to protect in the code. Now you can be a little more creative with your half story and allow people to have some character that they design for their house. And, you know, we live in one of those old houses. We're not changing it. We're probably going to have to do something interesting, but I don't want a cookie-cutter two-and-a-half-story house.
Yeah, I don't think the six foot story helps with regards to what's a half a story.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that doesn't help.
So that doesn't work, unfortunately.
But I do believe our code already says that there cannot be a flat roof.
What you're saying, Gordon, is if you have a 6 foot third level, you've got three stories.
You've got
three stories on that.
Does the code prohibit flat roofs in its entirety?
In the north end.
Yeah.
Only in the north end.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that that's in there.
Yes, it is. We finished our house in 08, and we built half of a flat roof, and that's our deck. And then the other half is pitched, and that's our solar panels. So it's a very mild pitch, but our energy savings by spending thousands of dollars after the house was built on solar panels is huge. So like Ed said, if you want a net energy house, or zero energy house, you have to make a roof to accommodate those panels. And that wasn't a subject in 2009. That wasn't a discussion. And now it's a huge discussion because of the tax credits and the energy savings for the cost of oil and fuel. Big. It's a whole new ball game.
Yeah, we have a code presently that says you can only build a half story, two and a half stories.
Yeah, the word flat is not in the code.
But the tier, you're required to do the tiered setback.
Yeah.
So I think it's your setbacks
define
it.
I say there's no flat roofs because of that?
That's what I thought because...
I mean, I don't remember saying specifically no flat roof.
That was the whole purpose, to get rid of it.
So guys, I want to provide a point of clarity that I think a lot of people don't realize. So when this whole issue came up, everyone thought all of this stuff was in the code. Okay, everyone thought that a half story was in the code. Everyone thought all those other definitions were in the code. The town has been, a lot of people have been operating as if this was already in writing, it was in the code. And I don't know exactly what transpired and what was read to the commissioners and what passed in that meeting, but somehow these definitions didn't get in there. And the fact of the matter is, we're exposed because of that, okay? There's no taking that away. We're exposed in terms of people who are applying for building permits when the definitions, we thought the definitions were updated, and they were not.
Wait a minute, Marsha. You are to be recognized by the chair, please.
Absolutely.
You've already spoken for 3 minutes, so if you have a question, you can have a question.
Can I have Rich's
minute? Why doesn't Rich ask the question?
Because I
just
have the question.
I'll
give her mine.
1 minute and no more. All right.
I just want to say that there seems to be some confusion over what's currently in the code and whether we're protected. And when this application was made, were three full stories, each of them at least 8 feet high. Our code, which reads, a space under a roof, suitable for living quarters, having a clearance of 6 feet or more at any point, shall be considered a story. Not a half story.
All right, Marcia, you're off the subject, please. That's it.
I'm sorry, Mayor.
You're off the subject. Please sit down. You're off the subject.
Ms. Schick, you're pointing out an issue that is, you're calling attention to an issue that is not on the agenda
right
tonight. You're concerned about the activities of a town official, but what we're here...
Yeah.
Well, no, I'm sorry. I apologize. I was
concerned
about what Mr. Jasinski said we were at risk of because people could build three full stories, but that's not true because we have this safeguard. That's absolutely not true.
He, Mr. Jasinski said earlier on in his comments that he's concerned that if we deny someone's application to build a two-and-a-half-story improvement that is outside the parameters of this definition, which was recommended by planning and zoning, that our denial of that could be the subject of an appeal, which we could lose because there is a lack of specificity in our code. There's no definition. That's the exposure that the commissioner is referring to, and that's the exposure that the commissioner is responding to by promoting an adoption of this definition. We've heard quite a bit from people about the sheer number of definitions that were recommended by the Planning and Zoning Committee, and I don't know, I wasn't here, many of us weren't here at the time, but my guess is they didn't get adopted because one or two of them, or maybe more, were caused some controversy, and that
it just fell through the cracks.
It completely fell through the cracks. Well, here we are debating the definition of a half story, and there are 100 other definitions.
I know.
What is the likelihood that we're going to adopt an ordinance that has 102?
Right, not right now. Right.
Well,
my question, Marcia, you've been asked to sit down, please. You are off the subject. Please sit down. Please sit down or you will be removed. I've asked you to sit down. Please sit down. You are off the subject. Fred even said you were. Fred, can we adopt this for a period of like 2 months to give us some cover until planning can review it with the idea that it would expire after 2 months? And what do you offer as an alternative to this? Please, quiet. If you want to talk, please raise your hand. Rich, if you want to come up, you can come up. You have your 3 minutes like anybody else.
Yeah, I think your options...
Wait till Fred's done speaking, though.
I don't... That's not an option I don't recommend that you amend this ordinance with a sunset provision that says that it sunsets in 2 months.
Well, what do you recommend? You said we're potentially liable if we don't adopt it.
Well,
we're damned if we do. We're damned if we don't. I want to be respectful of the people's opinions here, but I'm also respectful of the fact that we're liable.
Well,
I'm thinking something temporary might be the answer, and if people don't like the definition, they can wait 2 months, and we'll have a revised edition.
My intention was to respond to the question related to what was the exposure that Commissioner Jasinski was referring to. So I was attempting to I'm not saying for the record that we're unable to enforce any definition of one half story, but I'm not going to comment beyond that because I don't want to.
Well, what do you recommend? That's my question.
Well, I'm hearing. This is a policy issue for the commissioners. I'm hearing that there are questions about the appropriateness of this definition. I don't know if this group can agree as to whether or not this is the appropriate definition of a half story. So that remains to be seen. If three votes could move this or some variation of this ordinance through.
Mark, do you have a comment?
Well, I was just going to, as a thought, perhaps we should let the public who came, it's a public hearing, let's hear from the public and let everybody who has something to say about it. And then after the public hearing, then it's up for you all. I think the next agenda item is discuss and possibly vote on the ordinance. So I think we should let the public, rather than the commissioners debate these issues about how we're going to handle, let's hear from the public, all of the public who wants to speak. Let's let them speak. And then you all deliberate at the next item after the public hearing.
Well, you were going to do that. That's on the agenda. I don't understand what you recommended. What's different from what
you think? Just let the public get the public hearing done.
Yeah.
The public
hearing. Right, right. Okay.
Could
okay.
I try something?
Yeah.
I move that we define half story as half the square footage of the subordinate floor.
Well,
that's
yeah.
it.
We're still in the public hearing, though.
Right. Yeah. All right. We're going to get into discussion. All right, Rich, please finish your comment. You have 3 minutes.
Some of which have been touched on already by others.
Yeah.
First of all, I'd just like to point out that I believe everybody that's come up here to stand here, there's been a pretty good number of us now, it's been pretty uniform, they're against this. And I would like to also say that I'm against this as well. The one thing that no one has said is that this effectively is downzoning. Downzoning in the North End, which affects property values in a bad, negative way. I think that this is also, I was a commissioner back when we were doing the comprehensive plan and adopting the whole new zoning code. And I think it's a terrible idea to single out this definition without having a broader, more comprehensive approach. And I think the excuse that we're subject to risk is like Chicken Little talking about the sky falling in. And the building official has, because believe me, I've been subject to it, right? And you all know that. He interprets the code and makes a decision. He has a degree of discretion on what he can approve and what he can't. And when he doesn't want to approve something, he finds a way to do it. He finds an interpretation to do it. This is a bad move. It's hurting people's property values. It's hurting what they can do to redevelop their homes up there. And there's a lot of houses up there over the next 10 years, as their land lease ticks down, that there will be a lot of redevelopment up there. And I am someone that believes in not taking people's property rights away from them.
Thank you. All right, is there anyone else that has anything else to say before we close the public hearing? You've already spoken. Do you have a question?
I just wanted to say, I don't think the two-month thing is an architect's plan. You can't design
it. I'm just trying to find a compromise here. Thank you.
All
right, I'm just trying to find a way to deal with things here. All right, well, I'm going to now...
Just for clarification, real quick, Diane.
All right, Mike, and then I don't know if this woman behind you has something to say, and then we're going to close the public hearing. But you must come up and identify yourself.
Sure.
Okay? Yeah, you come up now, and then Michael comment. All right.
My name is Beth Caruso, and I'm here from Elizabeth by the Sea. So I'm sure some of you are curious who I am. I just wanted to make sure that the letter that we sent
yes.
in is in the record.
It was passed out to us.
Okay.
Right here.
Both on the screen up there.
And I just wanted to make two comments based on what I heard today. I agree that it seems that most people in the room today, which doesn't mean everybody, but the people in the room today, are not for this going through, and I think it would be wrong then to push it through if the people who came out today are not for it. I think this is a rush, and I'm speaking on behalf of the company when I say that, not myself. And despite the fact that it was perceived that it's a mistake that it didn't get through in the past, that's a number of years ago. If anything, it should be reviewed, even if it had gone through, it would be reviewed at this time. To say it was a mistake and should go through now, it bothers me to say that's the way it should go. And finally, there was a statement, I think, made by Mr. Jasinski that most of the people who are against it want to slap on something objectionable. That's not my opinion.
I did not say that.
You did.
I said most people who are against it want to be able to build a three-story home.
And I don't agree with you on that.
I did not say it was objectionable.
I apologize for that. I don't like to be perceived as because you are against a ruling, it's because you want to do something to sneak it in. Our feeling on this is that the definition should be looked at as a whole. Story feeds into half story. Story, half story feeds into roof. And I think it's worth the time to look at all these definitions clearly and do it right once. And then maybe in another 5 to 6 years, do it again. But I'd hate to see it done one at a time. And as someone who reads these things, and most of us at a part-time basis, not a full-time job, I hate to think I missed a month and another definition went in. These should be looked at once clearly, concisely, and quickly like that.
Okay, thank you. All right, any other comments?
Just can we put the definition back up? Our research team right now, so far we can't find where a flat roof is not allowed, and we don't think that's in the code. And we want to make sure you clearly understand that the definition of this half story would prevent anything but a ridge roof or a hip roof being built under this definition. It would prevent flat roof.
So you're not saying that, you're saying not everyone has to build like this, it's just, they can't build
if you have a third floor, your third floor cannot be a flat roof, basically what
right.
you're saying.
Right.
But you could have a second floor as a flat roof.
That's the point I was trying to make, that's a correction, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, I'm going to close the public hearing. All right, and now we're on to the next item, which is really discuss what we've just been discussing. And the question is, where the heck do we go from here?
So
I'm at a loss. I mean, everybody's against it, but I want to be able to protect the town. So what ideas do you all have? Courtney, you run the planning commission.
I think we say let the town manager and the building official interpret it as half of the square footage of the subfloor below it and try to jawbone people into going along with it. And if they don't go along with it, then let them do whatever they're going to do. In the period between now and when we get a better answer from planning and zoning with regards to what to do up in the north end. Just jawbone as much as you can. I think people are probably well inclined to want to live with a well-designed house, like Mr. Griffin said. They're spending a hell of a lot of money, and I don't think they want to build boxes generally. Maybe I'm sort of mixed up on it, but you're dealing with sort of informed, intelligent people who want to build something that's going to last and be increase in value. So I think trust in the system and try to jawbone to do half of the square footage on that top floor. Yeah. That would be my recommendation.
I guess that I'd also ask the Planning Commission to put this to the top of their list. I was not aware until you stood up tonight that the P&Z had not reviewed this one more time before sending it to us, and I'm kind of disappointed they didn't do that. So, you know, I would like to see the Planning Commission look at this, and, you know, I think it needs to be on fast track, you know, to get this resolved as soon as possible. But obviously what we have right now is not what people want. And am I speaking, is there anyone that is in favor of this that I'm offending?
I have a comment about I have a concern about fast-tracking anything, because I think very often we put the cart before the horse, and then the unintended consequences are severe. When I look at this kind of policy, I think, who does it help? Who does it hurt? What's broken? What needs to be fixed? And I don't see a lot of broken issues in this town currently. I think we need to look at property rights. The risk to the town, to me, would be allowing a property owner to do maybe even a nicer design than what the strict interpretation of the definition the code would allow. So I look at, I agree with Mr. Griffin and when his point about giving some freedom in architectural design and personal life, and then what Rick said is, do we even know how many people are affected by this? Do we know how many pending applications there are or permits that Mr. Mears is dealing with? We don't have that information. So I would say, let's not fast-track anything. Let's do a comprehensive, thorough review and do a good job and ask our Planning Commission to be in charge.
I always like to give architects the flexibility to be creative.
Yeah.
I like your position, Mr. Griffin.
I want to also just keep in mind that tomorrow we have a workshop and we are going to be discussing definitions of degrees.
Right.
So that will be regardless
of
what you do tonight.
Right, absolutely.
Go ahead.
Let's let Gary finish.
I didn't know
let Gary finish.
Hang on.
All right, go ahead, finish.
Yeah, I have a tour.
Yes, you do.
Okay.
As long as you keep it somewhat short.
I'm going to try, but I keep getting interrupted.
Okay.
this doesn't sound like it's fully baked. I think it's referred to P&Z.
Yeah.
I was surprised to see that this was, that somebody dusted this all down in a file cabinet somewhere and then presented it to us and haven't been reviewed lately. So I agree with Ed's comment. I think that's important. With the new types of architecture, zero energy houses, and what Anna said. So I would recommend that we refer this to P&Z.
Well, they already have it. Yeah.
Pick up the latest
one. Mm-hmm. All right, thank you. Any other comments over here, Courtney and then David?
I think we still have to deal with the interim when someone comes in and wants to build a house, and
right.
We have to decide what kind of direction to
give
to.
Yeah, that's my concern.
I would respectfully disagree with that. I think that you've got the opportunity now to make a motion and attempt to second it, or have the motion fail, or you can just choose not to make a motion. And then the building inspector will have to do his best to interpret the restriction against anything beyond a half story on the third floor between now and whenever it is you choose to give him additional direction.
So, well, I don't think we have any consensus with regards to the. Unfortunately, I don't think we have a consensus. I think we have. All we can do is give the homeowner advice that we think the best thing you can do is to reduce the third floor to half of what the other floors are based on what we've known about the prior deliberations of P&Z. And if they say we're not going to go along with it, then we have no legal basis to deprive you.
So, so let me make a few comments. I think the current situation we have is we have a building official who has felt that whatever's in the code, okay, doesn't really know what it means, and he's basically approved what most people would consider to be a full three-story home. That's the situation we have today, you know, and that's the situation that one of the speakers is very upset about. If you roll back to 2009, there was clearly an intent by the commissioners, okay, to say that homes are going to be limited to 2.5 stories.
Mm-hmm.
The definition of what that half story meant clearly fell through the cracks, wasn't agreed upon, whatever you want to say, it fell through the cracks. The problem we have right now is, based on the building inspector's actions, anyone who decides, I really want a third story, three-story house, and I'm willing to fight for it, Courtney's offered a completely different definition that's what's in front of here.
Mm-hmm.
And as I understand the way the law works, if there is ambiguity in the code, you know, the tie goes to the homeowner. So the situation basically is someone applying to do a three-story house today would basically say, you can't deny me my thing. I'm calling it a half-story. There's no clear definition in the code. So I get what a lot of people are saying about doing things methodically and getting things done. I never agree with the statement that says you can't do anything until you do everything, because mm-hmm. you can't necessarily get anything done if you wait to get right. everything done. But I agree that people say that things should be well thought out. This was the definition that previously was well thought out, because that's what the Planning Commission spent probably was better a year trying to figure it out. So we're stuck in a situation where if we leave it as is, some people will say it's 50%, some people will say it's this definition, and when that happens, tie goes to the homeowner, and they can in essence build it, which goes against what the intent of the code as it reads right now is. So, Diane, you, I think, got onto a good point, and you said, hey, you know, there's disagreement on people about what this means, and we have an interim problem, what do we do? There's, I don't know how many it is, but someone pointed out 100 different possible amendments, you know, to the definitions that will happen. It took us 4 months from the time we realized there was this problem at the beginning of April to now to get one definition up here in a public hearing. Okay,
right.
It took 4 months to do that. This process is going to take a while to figure out what all these other definitions are. One person pointed out, and I think the letter that went up said, you know, a story is not defined. A story is currently defined in the code. That definition's there. This is further defining what a half story is. I think people can say it's reasonable that the Planning Commission is clearly going to be reviewing all the definitions. I think it's reasonable for us to pass a definition of a half story with the understanding that the Planning and Zoning Commission, when they do all the definitions, may choose to revise it. But if we don't do anything, the situation we're in right now is that someone who decides they want to build whatever they want to build up to 35 feet, regardless of how many stories that is, if they want to push hard, they're going to be able to get away with it because there's nothing in the code that tells them what that limitation is other than 35 feet. And so my take is it's best to get something done. It may not be perfect. The Planning Commission's looking at a lot of things, and it can always be revised.
I think doing something like that in this meeting is wrong because we haven't given enough deliberation. We don't have the time to get more input, especially input from P&Z. I'd be reluctant to do that. I think I would recommend that we leave it as simply a definition. Leave it simply as the code says now and hope that maybe the building code inspector can, along with the town manager, can convince people to reduce the square footage on the third floor. And that's about it. I hate the thought of us doing this right now. One more possibility that we're making an error. You know?
Well, I mean, P&Z passed it. You know, obviously having done a lot of work, and I think, quite frankly, I think the commissioners at the time thought they were passing it.
We had testimony tonight that what the Planning Commission did was approve a lot of definitions in a very tense, controversial time in the town when we were working on a comp plan, and it hasn't been revisited since then. So to say it's been worked on, that this started in April, and we have testimony from the vice chair that they haven't even discussed it, is sort of a mixed message to the public. And we have a room full of people where I haven't heard anybody say they really like this. So
David King sought this definition within the code. And it took 2 or 3 weeks of people researching records to figure out that it wasn't in the code.
I'm here to represent the property owners and the constituents. If I'm going to make an error, it's going to be in their favor and not in the favor of doing processing information the way we're processing.
Well, David, you're welcome to make a motion, but I don't think it's going to pass. I mean, it's up to you if you'd like to make a motion.
Yeah, I mean, you know, everyone's saying that, you know, basically people are saying that they don't want to do this, but I'm just kind of here to tell you that anyone who wants to try to railroad a three-story house through is probably going to be able to get away with it if we don't do anything. And, you know, you can always do something and potentially modify it later if you think that it wasn't. You know, we do have the option to do that. People modify laws. That's why we're a legislative body. Yeah. But if we don't do anything, the intent of 2.5 stories, this is my personal view. I'm not the Board of Adjustment, right? That's an independent body. But I mean, we kind of have the precedent of the building inspector approving permits for what most people would consider to be a three-story home.
Well, do you want to make a motion or not?
I do, because I do think we should pass this definition, as was originally recommended by P&Z, into the code. So I will motion that.
All right, so your motion is to accept this definition?
That P&Z had originally recommended, yes.
All right, do we have a second to the motion? I'll second it just for the purpose of a vote. All right. Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Against? No.
All right. How many against? All right. I would abstain on that. All right. And what was your vote, Gary?
No.
Yeah, no.
No, yes?
I said no, against.
Oh, yes. Okay. All right. I think, you know, I understand what you're trying to do. I appreciate it. Maybe I shouldn't have said the word fast track, but I still think we need to have planning and zoning work on this and put it as a top priority, all right? Take their time to come up with a good definition. Don't rush it through, but at the same point, put it on top priority. Can we do that, Mike?
Yes, I will. I'll see David tomorrow and you will.
Right. Is everybody all okay with that?
I'd be shocked if we get the definitions by the end of the year.
Better than nothing. All right. That's the end of that item. All right. Let's take a quick break because everybody's leaving.